First of all, before I pray, I'd like to thank Pastor Sam and Pastor Tracy for giving me the opportunity to come here and preach today. What I'm preaching on is not something that I just pulled out of the Word, but yet something that's been on my heart for a long time. And God, through the Holy Spirit, has been giving me this particular message, which is the Great Commission. So I'm going to bring over an easel only because I had such a busy week that I couldn't get all the scriptures in time in order to have them put on the overhead. So I have a couple easels that I'll, actually this easel I'll be displaying and then going over them. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time together, Lord, and we know for such a time as this, each and one of us are gathered, Lord God, for we are part of the body of Christ, and through the anointing of Pastor Sam and Pastor Tracy, Lord God, that they are on a mission, Lord, and the vision that you've given them through the Four Square Church. We just thank you, Lord God, and I thank you that you give me the opportunity, Lord God, to share your word today through your precious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So a little bit about myself is I came from a traditional denomination like most of you did. Okay, we would go to church, we'd have a bulletin, and we'd go through the bulletin, and we'd basically go through them, have 15 minutes of encouraging word, and then we would go home. But yet, you came out feeling not any different than when you went in. And then back, and I didn't grow up with a Bible either. So once I was witnessed to, which everybody has to get witnessed to in order to come to an understanding of the Word of God, and you realize that there is such a thing called a born again of the Spirit. And when I became born again, I got a hold of a Bible, and it was a King James Version at the time, and I would soak in the Word because I was like, what is this? You know, and it was just so different from a prayer book and just going through the motions and things like that. And I got on fire for God. You know, I often said, I can't sell a used car, but I can sure sell Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the only thing that I know that never fails us. That used car is going to fail us, you know. And if I can honestly say when I witness to somebody, it's not going to fail. And so I've been in a lot of different areas of authority, from being a police officer to being on a school board to being in church and holding offices in church. But the only thing that really mattered is what's laid up in heaven, which is the treasures in heaven when we're serving God. And that's what the Great Commission is all about. So if you'll turn with me, please, to Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20. And I have to use my glasses for this. Okay, so when we look at this and we look at what Jesus' Great Commission was, both of these are in the celestial. When we're quoting the scriptures, this is not him in his natural earthly body, but in his celestial body. Okay, this is when he came back and was resurrected from the dead. So in verses 28 and 18, Jesus said, he came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. And then when we go to Acts, as we come up on Pentecost, and we know that the Pentecost is referenced in the book of Acts, this is also Jesus talking in Acts 1 and 5 and 1 through 8, and it said to him, this is Jesus talking, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive fire, which is the Holy Ghost, has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when Jesus spoke these things, they watched as Jesus Christ was taken up in the air into a cloud, and God received him back into heaven. They looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up there, and there were two men that stood by in white apparel, who said also, the men of Galilee, why do you stand up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Praise the Lord. So with these scriptures, we have a promise that our God is not a dead God. Okay, so others testify of their prophets and different things throughout the world, but they none of them testify of the resurrection of their prophet. None of them can say that he's in heaven waiting to come back, okay, except for Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ, his name cannot be interpreted in any other way, okay, so they can't copy the name of Jesus in these other religions that are going on, okay, because Jesus' name stands alone, and God made it that way for a purpose. Okay, and so with his great commission, okay, we have to know certain things about the Bible. So as I was sharing with you, I didn't grow up with a Bible. I had to read it, and I had to have people teach me. And that's why in this local assembly, Pastor Sam's up here and Pastor Tracy, and they're sharing the word with you, because and it's out of love, okay? And so I'm going to bounce around just a little bit, but I marked love down here because what I found out is in these different denomination churches that I've been through, and I've been through a lot because I was a police chaplain. So I had the opportunity to visit a lot of different Christian churches. But you know something? When you came out, you didn't feel different than when you went in. And I would say there's something wrong with that. Okay, I'm not going to downgrade any particular denomination. But what I know is the Holy Ghost fire that is in Pentecostal churches, okay, is what really God is asking all of you to spend time and search your hearts to find out that when you get filled with the Holy Ghost Spirit, that's when you're going to receive fire on high. And I put down here Holy Ghost fire because I used to smoke cigarettes. And I can tell you of a testimony talking about Pastor Sam and miracles. I was addicted to cigarettes before I was a Christian. And I smoked 2 packs of Newport cigarettes a day. And I couldn't quit. But I remember going to a full gospel church. And I prayed for God to remove my vices. And I knelt down at the altar, and I had someone pray over top of me, and I felt the fire of a rushing wind come, just like 50-mile-an-hour winds coming through. And I stood up, and I'm like, then I noticed a change in me. I never had another craving for a cigarette, but I didn't just crave to stop smoking cigarettes. I craved to stop biting my fingernails, all vices, and they all went away. Okay, and to this day, I won't put a cigar in my mouth if someone has a baby, because I honor God for that special miracle he did for me, and I would not want that temptation to come back on me. So if any of you guys are dealing with temptation and you get delivered, okay, only know that if you remember the open house to where some people that get saved and then they walk around, they don't get filled with the Holy Spirit, temptation comes upon them, okay, and that temptation can overtake them if you start dabbling in what you were doing in the first place. That's why it's so important to recognize the Holy Spirit in your life, because it's the Holy Spirit that gets a hold of you, and then the Holy Spirit unctions you. If you're going down the wrong particular path, the Holy Spirit is going to speak with you to get you back on track again. So using the easel, we have to recognize something, that God is no respecter of persons. So God chose us. In John 15, 16, and 7, we didn't choose God. God chose us. So remember, if we walk away from God for a season, which all of us have done, okay, that God is there waiting for us to come back. Just like the prodigal son, prodigal daughter, he's waiting for us. And with my situation, you know, I have gone through some valleys. I've gone through some dry periods, gone into the wilderness, because we think that we can put God in a bottle. Okay, and if I do this for God, then God's going to do this for me. At one time, I had 7 ministries in the church that Pastor Sam was talking about, because I couldn't get enough of God. And I thought, well, gee, I'm going to play cards with God, and if I show him 7 cards, I'm going to win. You know, that's a silly for instance, but you can't force God to do anything, because if it's not God's will, it's not going to happen, no matter how many ministries you have. But for such a time as this, I came back in contact with Pastor Sam and Sister Tracy, and I came here, and I knew the anointing was on me. I had 2 other opportunities to get licensed as an adult minister, because my self-esteem, okay, wasn't where it needed to be. And so I guess what you need to know is that there's no greater love that a man lay down his life for his brother. And I think about what Jesus Christ has done for us and how he laid down his life, okay, not for a particular denomination, not for a particular race, not for a particular calling, but everybody is the same. So what we need to recognize today is that if God loves us all the same, Okay, there's a calling on each one of our lives. And if you look into to Scripture, it's going to tell you some are called to be pastors, some prophets, some teachers, some evangelists. Some have the gift of encouragement and just nurturing of people. And some have more than one gift. So for such a time as this, I basically have returned to ministry. Now I believe it's a time where through the help of Pastor Sam and Sister Tracy, that I'm going through the licensing program, that I can get licensed and begin where I should have been a long time ago. But because of my self-esteem, okay, and I grew up with a poor self-esteem, an abusive household, as many of you have maybe gone through, alcoholism, physical abuse, and different things like that. And if you're told negative things long enough, you start to believe them. Okay, but once you're saved and you're filled with the Holy Ghost and love, the church we were at, there was a lot of love. And the Fidel family has a lot of love. They got a lot of love to go around. It's Italian amore, you know what I mean? And the thing about it is, I came here, instantly you could feel the Holy Spirit. You could feel their love. You know, there's not a day, even if they're not feeling good, they won't come up and embrace you and give, pour out the last bit of energy they have to help each and every one of us. And I want to be that same way. And my self-esteem has really grown. And I didn't believe Satan. I didn't believe Satan anymore. I said, you know something, Satan, you're a liar. I stomp you under my feet. Okay? And so what I'm trying to share with you today, okay, is a great commission is for each and every one of us. Okay? And some have one calling, some have many callings. But the most important part is I sit here as a testimony that, you know, I could have went on either side of the tracks. You know, I became a policeman, but I could have became a criminal. You know, I could have not served God and could have, maybe it would have been easier to go to a cult where nothing is required of you but to sit into a pew, you know, and just, you know, just ride your life out. But you know something, God has a calling on us. And with that, I've had a lot of classmates pass away. I'm coming up on my 40th class reunion. I've had teachers pass away. We're not promised tomorrow. So you know, when we close our eyes for the last time on this earth and we wake up, you know, and we see our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know, are we going to see a couple lines in there, you know, or is there going to be volumes? And God's going to say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant, for you have labored. You have listened to my word. And I want to be there. I want to be there. And, you know, I've testified a lot. And as Pastor Sam has said, I've even been on the mission field. Now, here's a little boy that grew up with nothing. Okay. And I kind of went through the motions, but I always had a love. My mom had a more. She's Italian also. And, you know, it was always giving and giving and giving. But giving doesn't get you to heaven. You know, it doesn't get you to heaven. If you don't have the born again experience and ask Christ into your heart and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died for our sins, his shed blood cleansed our sins once and for all, and he resurrected to heaven. So he's not dead in the grave. He's resurrected into heaven. So it talks about the day of Pentecost. It says when Jesus Christ, when he ascended, he said, wait. In the upper room. So his apostles went in the upper room. They waited for the day of Pentecost. And they were endued with fire. Just like when I was delivered from them cigarettes. It was like a rushing wind. And there was no doors open and no windows open in the church. I'm telling you, there was a 50 mile an hour wind that went through there. Okay, so the gifts are real. The deliverances are real. The miracles are real. Okay, and all we have to do is have faith. Faith is of a grain of mustard seed to believe on it. Okay, and God says that's all you need is a faith. So even no matter what your background is, where you came from, whether you were abused, maybe you had a silver spoon in your mouth. I've seen a lot of people that have with a silver spoon in their mouth, they sit there and they think they're all that. Okay, but if you remember the one lady that was a harlot and a prostitute, and that was the one that was washing Jesus' feet, and it says to whom much is forgiven, okay, much then you have much to give back because you have so much you're forgiven for. You just say, Lord, thank you. And you weep and you're overwhelmed at what God has done for you. And if you have that true born again experience, then you are like, man, I'm not going to admit it to the public, but I've done a lot of bad things, you know? And so, but look what God has done for me. So when I'm out there and I'm trying to give, I'm trying to say, Lord, look what you did for me. That's the least I could do. I could tell you an experience of my nephew. He was my brother was adamant about him being a basketball player. So he kept kicking him out of the house and going to White Township basketball court. Okay. He's walking across and not paying attention, and boom, got hit by a car dead on the street. Dead on the street. And I say this because of what it unctioned me, because of something Pastor Sam said. Okay. A Christian nurse from Chippewa E Free that used to be over there, now they name it a different church. She started praying over him. And his eyes woke up and started breathing. Now, this is an RN. RN knows whether you're dead or not. Okay. And he came back to life. You know, we were all notified. We went to the Beaver County Medical Center. Okay. And he's in his coma, but he's breathing. And we started to pray and we started to pray. And this is what's really, really funny, how God moves. So he's in his coma. And when he was hit by a car, he was an introvert, which means he's real shy and real skittish and things like that. So we're praying for 10 days, okay? And they had to drill his head, and we're praying and believing God. God does use doctors, but he works supernaturally too. So we have to never, never discount the fact that we need to cry out for God, because many times it's God's using the doctor's hands for healing, and sometimes it's supernatural. So my nephew Justin comes out of a coma, okay? And he's living. And we're just like teary-eyed because we're just so thankful. It's like we believe by faith that these tears, these prayers that we shed, it made a difference. Because he was supposed to die. Even though he was dead, they were saying, teeter tottering, is he going to live? He's not going to live. And he comes out, and when he recovers and he stands up, okay, he becomes a comedian. His personality was flip-flopped. He wasn't an introvert anymore. He was a jokester. Okay, and to this day, he'll come up and he'll act like a clown. And I'm thinking to myself, God, did you do that? You know, so I mean, you never know what God's going to do. And to this day, Justin is saved. He goes to church and he's a comedian. Okay, so you can imagine, you get more honey, more bees with honey than you do with vinegar, right? He's not this little intricate person, but he's a jokester. And he goes around, he tries to care for people and laugh and make people laugh. And I think to myself, God uses circumstances. God uses circumstances. Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good to those that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Praise the Lord. So since that day, I try to testify. And I don't always testify here. But you know something? I want to give God my praises. I want to testify. I know the first thing I testify is I thank God for each and every one of you, because I think for such a time as this, this is why I'm here, okay? I'm here to try to make a difference, okay? I've had many paraministries outside the church, but to sit under this ministry and to be a part of it and to be a help is so important to me, because I know it's God's will. And you guys are not accidents. Every one of you are here for a purpose. Each one of you have a calling on your life, okay? And don't say, well, I can't do it, okay? I came from nothing, abused. I was told I was nothing, within curses all my life, put through walls, okay? But you know something? God says, okay, I'm going to work that together for good. I'm going to work that together for good. So at one time, you know, I had a chance to become an adult ministry program. I thought, no, it's not time. But I was talking with Pastor Sam, and I've been teeter-tottering. And I said, talking with Pastor Sam, I said, listen, I said, I know the calling's on my life, okay? I stomped that poor self-esteem under my feet, okay? Which is what I did in South Africa when I was over there. Can we play a 5-minute clip of me when I was over in South Africa? And what I'm trying to say is, okay, I didn't grow up in a ministry family. Okay, I came from a denomination. But as I searched out the scripture, God opened up an opportunity, okay, as he did also for Pastor Sam, for us to go abroad, you know? And we raised money for a year. It's 19 hours from JFK nonstop to go to South Africa. And you know, there's a lot of witchcraft and voodoo and Santeria over there. It's not an easy place to go, because there's so much spiritual denomination. Can you imagine if all of you guys rushed me in the spirit realm? That's what it's like if you're not prayed up and you don't have faith that God's going to protect you. Okay.
1, chapter 13, verse 1. The Holy Ghost fell as Paul fasted and prayed, and God sent Paul on his first missionary journey.
17,
and this is our first missionary journey here today. But God has filled us with fire from the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
To preach the good news of the sacrificial giving of our Heavenly Father's Son for the cleansing of our sins. The free gift of eternal life. To be grafted up to the vine. Grafted up to the grapevine.
Oh,
to be attached to the grapevine. We are no longer servants. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Now God has called us
in Matthew 24 and 14.
And I'll give you a minute to turn there.
What is it? What?
And they kind of mocked at us coming in. And I was quenched in my spirit, and I asked one of the brethren, what did they say? And they said, where is your Jesus? Well, God affirms in His Word in Matthew 24 and 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So we have a great commission in South Africa, as well as all the world, that we operate in love. And if I have the opportunity to go out there and share with them young people, God tells us His word does not return void. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And He calls children and adults alike to share in the love of Jesus. Because we all were lost, but through the free gift of Jesus Christ, we are now found. And the Lord tells us,
okay, thank you. So here it is, a little boy from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, who came through many years of wandering the streets and wondering about Jesus and wondering about being born again, because I did have a friend who was a born-again Christian whose parents were born again, but I only believe denominationally that we know of a name of a person, of a Savior named Jesus, but not that personal relationship. But when you submit yourself and you ask Christ into your heart, okay, He is faithful and just, and He will deliver us because He's no respecter of persons. And so He took a little kid from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, who searched and searched and searched. And I found Christ. I found that there is a born again. And I became saved. There is a baptism of the Holy Ghost Spirit, that you be baptized with fire. And these stick figures, because I'm not a really good artist, is basically represents families. It represents children, because you train up a child in ways they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. Okay, the Fidel family is such a wonderful example of that. When you see them up front with their children, okay, as musicians and as singing and out there preaching and out there sharing and testifying, okay, that is a true mark of what God can do for each and every one of us. Okay, so we have to believe if our children are lost, if our friends are lost, okay, God is faithful. It says, train them up when they're young. If they walk away for a while like the prodigal, God's word is true. It doesn't lie. doesn't lie, and it's faithful. So God will return your children to us. And sometimes it means getting with other people and agreeing with them in prayer. Where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. That's what Jesus Christ says. So it's important to me because I have family that are outside of the will of God. And sometimes we get bitter and we want to quit serving God, okay? But that's not the right thing to do because God doesn't leave us for such a time as this. So we have to remember that God's timing is not our timing. And so you have to just hang in there. And sometimes it means calling a friend and say, you know, I'm having a bad time. My faith is wavering, okay? And we need to be there 24/7, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, and be there for each other. And that's why the local body is so important. Christ says at the end, he says, do not forsake the assemblies of yourself together, because when these hard times come in the last days, we need each other. That's why Pastor Sam and the other leaders in the church, they have the food ministry. There might come a time if the dollar crashes, we're going to need that food. We're going to need to be relying on each other, okay? And the world's going to run around in chaos. But we're going to come together. We're going to say, here's a remnant, one of many remnants. And we're going to be here for each other. We're going to be okay till Christ comes, okay? He doesn't say when he's coming, okay? But if we have to go through hard times, okay, we have a local body of Christ here that we can lean on each other. We can help each other. So please, if someone asks us why we believe what we believe, we need to be able to give an account. We need to tell them, first of all, the Word of God is true. And all the stories in our lives, we need to remember the stories. So many things that God has done for us. In my first King James Version Bible, every time God does something for me, okay, I've written it down. Okay, I write down the date, the scripture, and so on and so forth through here, okay? Because sometimes we forget. We go through a good time, and then we fall in a bad time. It's like, you don't remember what God has brought us through. So we need to be mindful of that. And we need to also remember, you know, that as all these abortions are taking place throughout the world, and then we hear the success stories of Christians like us at the last minute. We were able to talk to somebody to stop an abortion. And then we find out 18 years later what this person has grown up to be in God's eyes, you know. And so with that, we need to be mindful of every single person because God loves us all the same. That means we need to preach to the poor as well as to the rich. Many times we go in there, if you're real bold, you talk to the doctor and you say, listen, I know what your science says, but we believe in this guy right here, okay? We believe what Jesus says, okay? And so with that, perfect testimonies with this lovely couple here that, you know, Ron maybe should have been with the Lord, but by his faith, and by the prayers of the righteous and laying on of hands, he is alive. His lovely wife, 5 times cancer. Most people would have been passed away by now, okay? And, you know, sometimes God takes our children home, okay? And before their time. And we cry and we say, Lord, why? We don't know God's ways. Our ways are not God's ways. So, but we have a rest assurance that our children have absent body is present with the Lord. And they're with the Lord. And we'll see them again. We'll see them again in glory. You know, and until then, we think about all our friends and our family have passed away. And they're up there just waiting for the one day that God's going to return us to be with them. And so with the Great Commission, I want to share with you today that we are all disciples, each and every one of us. And God has different callings on each and every one of our lives. Some certain calling and some maybe one calling. But what's most important, God calls us all to testify of the stories. Okay, they're stories. This Bible is full of stories of what God has done in each and every one of our lives. This is full of promises of what God has done in each and every one of our lives. And we can testify to that. And when we testify at it, don't you notice that the people, when they're in trouble, who do they run to? They run to you guys because they're saying there's something about them. I know they actually pray and believe on what they're going to be praying about, and they get answers to prayer. And so I believe for each and every one of you today and each and every person that's going to be listening to this message through video, okay, God loves you. And he is no respecter of persons. And just remember the stories of what God has done for each and every one of us. And then when we get asked about why do we believe, what we believe, okay, in our church that we go to right now, the Four Square Church, okay, these pamphlets are great to have with us. Each and every one of us should carry them. Because when we give an account, it's like, well, why do you go to the Four Square Church? We go to this Four Square Church, and this is what we believe. And sometimes if you don't have a lot of time to talk with them, okay, this will give them an outline of what they can hope for, what they can receive if they come here, okay, and open themselves up and empty themselves out, repent of their sins, just ask God to saturate them with the Holy Ghost Spirit. That's what they can have, the same as we have. So I would just suggest that each and every one of us carry one of these with us, okay, to give them, give an account, because they're always going to challenge us, especially the cults that are out there. Why do we believe what we believe? And the stories and the testimonies that we impart to them could convert them from going to hell because they're believing a lie, okay? This one thing that we do, this one simple track could create a powerful Billy Graham. If you knew the story of Billy Graham and where he came from, I think it was an accident that he got saved that one particular night. He wasn't even supposed to be where he was. And I think someone passed over him, but he basically came to the altar and repented. And he's one of the greatest evangelists of all times. Okay. And then he has his son following in his footsteps. Okay. Like the Fidels have their family following their footsteps. And like each and every one of us can have our families. I mean, what greater happiness can we have than knowing our whole family has this security of eternal life and we're all going to be in heaven one day? What material item in this earth could be better to bring us joy? Doesn't everybody want peace and joy? And praise the Lord. And family is everything. Okay? So, and we pray. And here's another thing. When my cousin, my nephew Justin got hit by a car, my brother wasn't a believer, his dad. Okay. And I couldn't get it through my brother's head. I said, you got to pray. He didn't know how, but God sent a friend who he was friends with, who was a born again Christian, and said, Dave, you know, this is real. Okay. For some reason, I don't know why, God's full of mysteries. God had this gentleman named Doug speak with my brother. My brother, weeping, poured out his heart, repented of his sin, and started praying for his son who was dying. Okay? Sometimes we can't get through to our families, but God sends the right person at just the right time. Okay? And we don't know why, and we don't know how. Okay? But God uses people, and it might not be us, but God says he won't leave us comfortless. He won't renege on any of his promises. He said your whole family will be saved. And we have to believe by faith as of a grain of mustard seed. So with that, I thank you for the opportunity to share what God has put on my heart about the Great Commission, okay? We are all tasked, no matter what callings we have, is to share the gospel. And by doing this, God says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you testify, it's okay to be in your prayer closet, but when you're out on the street and God, the Holy Spirit gives you that unction, please share what the stories of what God has done for you. And then you're going to hear the stories of what God has done bringing strangers into your children's lives and your aunts and uncles and all of your family and how they come to receive from other people. And that's okay. As long as we know that they received and then they got on their knees and repented and asked Christ into their heart. And then they begin the sanctification process of looking in a mirror. And when you look in a mirror each morning, you should look more like Jesus Christ every single day. And then one day you get up on the altar, like Pastor Sam, when he lays hands on people and says, do you now understand the baptism of the Holy Ghost Spirit? Okay, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with fire. And then all these promises and miracles, okay, will be given to you. And basically our church will grow. And our church will be like the church on a hill where they know they can get answers. They know that they can get healings. They know they can get food. Because, you know, God's commission is, you know, the last commandment he gave, okay, is love thy neighbor as thyself. It might be giving them a drink of water. It might be giving them food that we have downstairs. You know, it might be taking them to the doctor, okay? But this love that's inside of us, that's what it's all about. It was Jesus Christ's love that he was beaten and wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we claim healing. Hallelujah. And then in the power of that resurrection, we know he's not a dead Savior. He's alive. He's in heaven. He's interceding for us every day, and his promises are yea and amen. So let's claim all them promises today. Let's continue to join together, look out for each other, because Christ so honors that. Okay? So I pray blessings upon each and every one of you, and I thank you, and praise God for his living word and for our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.